Oh, my uncle and father-in-law. The vision began with a message that he had died suddenly, and went on with the funeral, at which I was present. The sensations of grief, and the remarks and actions of the other mourners, were vividly impressed on my mind. When I awoke and later informed Carrie, my wife, we decided to go down and see him when up in town, but unfortunately Carrie was not well enough to go on the day we had selected. On January 5th, H.J.L.'s birthday, we received about 10:15 a telegram to say H.J.L. had suddenly died. All the sensations of grief that I had felt in my dream were repeated exactly, as were the incidents of the funeral. Even his face in his coffin looked like the one I had seen in my dream. It differed considerably from his face when alive. He was buried on January 8, 1914. First transvision. During the night of Monday, January I to th, that is 1 week after his death on January 5th, at 9 a.m., I dreamt I saw Uncle like, and yet unlike, he was before he died, something between what I remember him as before, and what he looked like after death. He said, "I have been trying to speak to Carrie, but can't, so I have come to you. Tell her I am alive, more alive than before I died, that I am mentally clearer than I was for some time before I died. But here I have had to set to work to learn, as if I were a child again, much of what I should have learnt on earth. I am with those who did just believe, but had not much real belief. Tell Carrie this. It was lucky for me that I did believe to a certain extent, as otherwise I should have been with the set who were below us, that is those who did not believe. I used to say it did not matter much what a man believed, but I am learning I was wrong. It makes a big difference, at any rate at starting. The set above us are those who believed but did not fully act up to their beliefs. J. W. What do you mean by these sets? H. J. L. After I died I found we joined that set of people to which we naturally belong, that is, those who hold the same sort of belief or unbelief. We have a teacher, somewhat like the angels of the parsons, but they, the teachers, Ed, don't look a bit like the silly pictures you usually see. This teacher instructs us in what we are lacking, and when that lack has been made good, we move on to the next set, which includes many more different people than our own. We get very bored with meeting only those who think exactly like we did. There is much more variety in the next set. J. W. What is that set? Gone West, H. J. L. Those who believed, but did not fully act up to their beliefs. J. W. Is the heaven, hell, and purgatory? H. J. L. I do not know whether there is a hell. You see, I know nothing at all save about my own set, and the ones above and below. There are plenty of old friends I expected to see and have not, but, of course, they may be and probably are only in another set. Those who did not believe are in the set below, after a time they come to us. As to purgatory, that corresponds roughly to where we all are. Only it's more a place of learning than of punishment. Still, we are punished, because I can't help regretting the time I wasted on earth which would have got me into a more congenial set. We all, strange to say, are rather lonely here. We are too much alike to be companions, and want to get on, so as to meet our old friends, who, we believe, were in other sets. I am learning, but it's slow work. I feel like a schoolboy again. It's funny, I died on my birthday and was really born here on it. J. W. Did you know anything of your funeral? H. J. L. Yes, I saw myself lying dead, and saw you come and look at me. Be sure and tell Carrie what, I said, that it saves a lot of time if you do believe, and that we do live after death. I am very glad I believed as much as I did, and I wish I had believed more. J. W. Would you go back if you could? H. J. L. No, certainly not. I am much happier here. I am making progress. However, I must be off now. It seems a funny thing to say to a schoolmaster, but I have to begin my schooling all over again. End of vision. J. W. Second vision, January 20th, 1914. During the night of January 19th, 1914, I again dreamt in a trance that I saw H. J. L. J. W. Are things going on with you? H. J. L. Well, but slowly. J. W. I, we wanted to ask you some questions. H. J. L. Fire away. I don't know that I shall be able to answer them. J. W. Where are you? Do you come to me from somewhere else? H. J. L. Not exactly. I am here all the time. Our world impinges on yours. I hate similes, but I can best explain it by one. You know those Pepper's ghosts? Well, it is as if we were thrown onto your stage, our scenery, and our characters walking about you, but unseen by you. Just as a real man on such a stage would hot see the phantoms which surrounded him, but the audience sees both him and them. Or like a bank of clouds which blends into a range of hills, so that it is hard to say which are hills and which clouds. We are in the same world as you, but not subject to the same laws. For example, time and space don't exist. This sounds trite, and so it is. For the truth usually is trite, because it's true, and therefore always has existed. J. W. But you are here now. How, then, can there be no space? H. J. L. Compare us to a thought. We are more than a thought, for we continue to think, but compare us to a thought, you may then get some idea of what I mean. When on earth you think Ravenscroft, your mind calls up a picture of Ravenscroft and the people there. You see them as they were. To that extent we and you are alike, but your finer senses are controlled by your body and you are unaware of what changes may be taking place. Now, you know something of telepathy. Do you remember my telling the story of the only true ghost story which the Psychical Society got, the one sent by the doctor? Gone West, J. W. Yes, I do, H. J. L. Well, after that I said, I think most of that stuff's rubbish, but there may be something in telepathy. J. W. I remember perfectly. H. J. L. Well, Jack, there's not only something but almost everything in telepathy. It's the outer edge of those faculties which we have to develop here. It's the main link between our world and yours. You know that some people have learned of things which are happening to their friends at a distance. We all can do so here, and that is the way we communicate with each other. Speech does not exist with us. This explains those sayings in the Bible about nothing shall be hid. You cannot tell lies here or be deceived. But that is not all, for every separate thought exists of itself and we can see them all. This explains the doctrine of the Catholics, at which I used to laugh, that a really evil thought, such as murder, is worse than a venial sin. My punishment consists largely of this, that all my evil deeds and thoughts rise up before me in as real a shape as I myself possess. They are there with all the surrounding impedimenta. J. W. What do you mean by that? H. J. L. Well, Jack, I don't want you to think worse of me, so instead of quoting a real offense, I'll show you what I mean by a fictitious one. Suppose a man committed a murder, or even meditated one, write merely the actual murder, but all the surrounding details, such as the furniture and room in which it was, or was intended to be committed, are here. J. W. Then do you mean to say that there is no difference between the fault thought of and one committed? H. J. L. It all depends on the reason why it was not. Supposing your better nature gains the upper hand and you refuse to act as your lower nature prompts you, then, after seeing the evil thought, you will be refreshed by seeing the good one, for all your good deeds and thoughts come here also. If the sin had not been committed solely because you were prevented by something else, then there would be no good thought to refresh your weary spirit. Of course a man may be temporarily prevented from giving way to an evil passion, and afterwards rejoice that it should have been so. All that he will see here. Thus each one lives in a world of his own creating, and the more nearly his world approximates to that of others around him, the more company, the less solitude will he have. Solitude is one of the worst punishments here, and so those who, though having many faults, yet loved much and had many friends, get their reward. J. W. Does this state remain constant, or do you get to know more people and your former thoughts haunt you less? HJL. Now I told you we did progress only last time. You should not ask unnecessary questions, nor try to catch me dripping. I repeat, we do progress as we learn, and particularly as we learn to believe. As to the second part of your question, I don't really know exactly what happens, but as we go on thinking here we create fresh thoughts, and as these are of a nobler nature than those we thought on Earth. They refresh us and enable us to bear more easily the grief we feel for our former faults. We realize as faults here things that on Earth we deceived ourselves into thinking were not faults. I should add that at first it's rather like a hideous nightmare, all one's dead thoughts come crowding round, but after a time they seem to fall into a distinct order, but I can't explain how. At any rate, things become easier. A lot of what I have been telling you I have recently learnt from my teacher. I have also learned a lot from some of the others. Gone west, to return to how I come to you. I just think of you, or, rather, concentrate my thoughts on you to the exclusion of other things. That is getting quite easy, though at first it was very difficult. But it's not so easy to get your spirit in tune with mine, so that I can communicate with you. I tried several others first. I tried Carrie and I tried. Then I had a shot at F. At last I thought I might be able to get into touch with you. J. W. Then I gather that you are in this world and see it as we do. HJL. We are in this world, but not restricted to it. Moreover, it does not look the same to us as to you. We see much more. We see the past, and some, I believe, can see the future, though I cannot. You will understand that, as you dreamt of my death a month before it happened. But I have taxed you long enough. Is there any point you would like to ask about? J. W. Yes. You said something about our lower nature. Do you know whether there are any devils who inspire men with evil thoughts? HJL. I do not know. When I was alive I did not believe in them. But since I died I have learned to believe many things I laughed at then. There may be, for there are good spirits who were never men, but I cannot say I know. J. W. Why don't you ask your teacher? HJL. If you were teaching a boy Euclid, and he suddenly asked you a question about some event in history, would you not tell him to wait till the history lesson came? Well, it's the same here. There is so much to learn that I must wait till I come to each thing in its proper place. J. W. I am glad you have come to me like this. But why did you? H. J. L. Partly because I like you, but mainly because I think in this way I can do a little good, and it is not easy to do good here. I wish I had done more good when I was on Earth. I particularly want you to tell Carrie. She understood me more than most of them did. We were always good friends. I wish I could speak to her, but I can't. You are getting tired, pause. Your mind fails to keep touch, pause. J. W. Yes, I am tired, but I want to ask you something. I can't quite remember what. H. J. L. I will come again, pause. I will come again. Note by J. W. I seem to fall asleep after this, and can remember no more till I awoke next morning. Third vision, January 21, 1914. On the night of January 20th, H. J. L. again appeared to me, in a vision. H. J. L. I have come to you again, but only for a short time. I want you to try automatic writing. A man I came across here, called P, suggested it to me. He says he used to live at Sheffield, that he'll show me how to do it, and that it would be a much better method of getting into touch with the still living. He's a decent sort of chap, and I rather like him. J. W. I have tried once or twice, but without any real results. H. J. L. Since I died? J. W. No, some time before. HJL. Well, try again. I've much on hand just now, but I will not forget you. Remember me to Carrie. Gone West, Automatic Writing, 1. Alone, January 21, 1914. I have come to you as I promised. Mr. P. is helping me. He says he is interested, as he used to live at Sheffield. It's not easy to write this. I hope it is readable. I shan't write any more now. H. J. L. Gone West, Chapter 2, Introduction of the Officer, Automatic Letter, 2, January 22. In preparation for this, these questions were written down by me on a piece of paper. I was in semi-trance during this and last letters. Questions, 1. Do you not miss your chess and other recreations? 2. Any class distinctions? 3. Do you recognize ancestors or relations or well-known historical personages? Letter, I don't miss my chess because I can still play it. Games, entailing bodily skill we cannot enjoy, since we have no bodies, but those entailing mental skill are not in the same position. Chess is entirely a mental amusement, so we do play it with our minds or thoughts. I have just been playing with Lasker.1. He beat me, but it was a good game. He just managed to get the opposition. We do not, most of us, want bodily pleasures here, but those who do cannot have them. It's for the most part the younger men, we older ones, of the genus Sapiens Homo, had got tired of most of that sort of thing long before we died. Those who do crave for it are being punished for liking that sort of thing too much. Luckily for me, I was an old man, and I never cared much for most of that kind of amusement. As to question 2, of course there are no class distinctions as such. There are no Tories here, perhaps because there's no plunder comity, but at the same time lack of education in the widest sense results in something which at first sight rather looks like classes, that is, men who think and believe alike each fall into sets. The richer classes, who are more cultured, shall we say, are generally in different groups from the poor. We'll answer number 3 at another time. Goodbye, H. J. L. January 24, 1914. The following was written automatically in the presence of Mr. and Mrs. K., at their house. I was in complete trance in this and all future letters. J. W. Questions, 1. What part of the world was Mr. P. in when he passed over? 2. What do you mean by believe? Believe what? 3. Can you recognize ancestors, relations, historical characters? 1. I later I discovered Lasker was still alive, and taxed him with incongruity. He said he knew, but, nevertheless, just as I was able to enter the sixth plane and return, so was Lasker. Quite a number did this, but few were able to retain a clear recollection of what had passed. If they remembered anything at all, they called it a dream. 2. Note by J. W. H. J. L. Knowing I was a Tory, often used, when alive, to say the Tories out for plunder and blunder. Gone West, Letter 1, I am here. As to question number 1, I will find out and answer in a minute. About number 3, I have not met any historical characters here, but we can, and as we get on into the higher group or set we shall do so. Mr. P. says he died in the Far East, Japan. 3. I am getting on quite well now and will come to you on Monday next. I have met a man who has just come up to us from the set below. He is a most interesting chap. He was a thorough scoundrel before he died, and has been telling me some of his experiences since then. He says he has been through an awful time, and so I'll ask him more about it. I gather he has committed about all the offenses there are. About question 2, I mean belief generally, belief in a future life and God, and in fact belief. The first thing to do is to believe something. It does not so much matter what, so long as you believe. A nigger believing in a fetish is better than a man who believes nothing at all. Believe. I will write again presently. The conditions are better than any before. You need a rest. Try again in half an hour. H. J. L. Witnessed, in autograph, K. January 24, 1914. 6:30. We waited half an hour. This time no questions were asked. Letter 2, I have come. Learn as much as you can on earth and so save delay afterwards. Now about myself. That man I spoke of is near me. He was a man of good position. had been an army officer and was turned out for disgraceful conduct. He married a girl and robbed her of her money. Left her behind when he went to India. Seduced a girl there and got her money, murdered a native. They found out about the girl but not about the native. Kicked out of the army. Returned to England. There went in for bogus company promoting. Robbed dozens of poor people of their money. Finally came under the law. Got 5 years. While in prison, his wife brought an action for divorce and won it. When he came out, set up as a card sharper. Was discovered and turned out of the various clubs to which he belonged. Then he got in with a young fellow who had new invention. Ran him for a time, finally murdered him and stole the invention. Got it accepted, and as he was going to sign the agreement was knocked down by a motor bus in the Strand and killed. It was one of the first motor buses invented. He wants to take control. She'll let him for a minute. Note by Ed. Here the style of writing quite changed and the writing itself was done at a great pace. Mr. and Mrs. K. declared that the medium's whole demeanor changed and became excited. Stranger. I am taking control, but can't manage it properly. I am not doing this for fun. I've been a beast all my life, and if I can do anything to make amends I want to. Sure sometimes, I cannot do this properly yet. I have been a miserable failure all my life. But if Mr. L. will help, as he has promised, shall doubtless make progress. He wants to take control now. H.J.L. again. I am afraid he rather exhausted you. I am rather a tyro, but of course he is worse, as he has not had the calming influence of our teacher. He has only just got out of the worst torments, so is disturbed in spirit. Our calmer atmosphere will doubtless make his stuff much more readable. But he was so anxious to do some good at last that I threw correct. This fact was unknown to me. J.W., gone west, had to let him try. He shall give you his experiences another time. They will be quite different from mine. He has been much longer here. He died in 1905, so written in text as if he had paused to inquire. Ed. Says it was one of the first motor omnibuses that ever plied. Just his luck. I have taken up almost all the time about him, so we'll now close. H.J.L. And at about 7.30. The following question had been written down by Mr. K. Will the officer give his name? Letter 3. As you have probably gathered, several friends are now helping us, but I have now sent away the officer. He exhausts you too much. Besides, a man helping me here has told me we must be careful, as he has only just got into our set and so might break loose if he comes in touch with Earth too often. He means well, but the spirit is weak. However, we will see no harm comes of it. I have not met any old friends here, and so am a bit lonely. But am making friends with several men. One went up to the next set. He has promised to come and visit us sometimes, and so I hope to be able to report to you something of the set above us. As to question re-officer's name. I do not know it. But can ask him. Shan't do so now, though, or he'd want to take control. I am not sure that he'll give it, rather think at first he won't, but dare say he will in time. He's a wild sort of person. I can see you all quite well. There are others with you, lots of them. Of course I do not know who they are, as they do not come from my set. But power is waning. Thank Mr. and Mrs. K. Goodbye, H. J. L. Gone West, Chapter 3, H. J. L. outlines his plan from this book Vision in a Trance on the night of January 26, 1914, H. J. L. I am glad we started that automatic writing, as it has proved so successful. I propose to give you a series of such letters, in which I shall endeavor to give a connected account of our life over here. Now I gather that most of the spirit messages which have been received ignore almost everything which does not come under the writer's immediate knowledge. I propose to go further and to give in addition to my own personal experiences those of members of the sets above and below us. By this means I hope to cover at least those three, and as my friend who has passed on to the set above has promised to try and get in touch with a spirit who is passing on to the one above, I may be able to tell you something of the fourth set. I shall endeavor to give you a description of the geography of this region, if so it may be called. Further, I shall give you my own experiences, beginning with my death and entrance to this new life. Further, I have been back to Earth since last I saw you, and have seen a male pass over to us from our side. My teacher took me. I'm therefore able to comprehend several incidents in my own death which at first appealed vague and uncertain. Now it is difficult for you to understand our arrangements here, it is very different from what you are usually taught. It is not, however, so much that the original teaching of the church was wrong, but that it has been misinterpreted by its teachers. At the best, however, they only show a part of the truth. Not even here do we know all the truth. Truth is like a diamond with many facets. Each facet contains part, but only part, of the truth. Some facets are larger than others, so all creeds exist because of the facet of truth, however small, which they possess. No faith which had no element of truth could exist at all for any space of time on earth. Often, however, the facet is very small. The larger the amount of truth, the stronger that faith will, as a rule, grow. Thus the Roman Catholics are a numerous body, but neither they nor any sect possess all the truth. They simply form one of the communities which exist in the sects where men believed. There are also Buddhists and Hindu there, and, indeed, all religions. From this stage we advance until we have gathered in all truth, and then we shall really know what is meant by God. But that is far hence. Since, however, it is easier for you to comprehend the new facts with which I am about to deal if you can attach them to some theory with which you are acquainted, I shall adopt the general plan of heaven, purgatory, and hell. Be under no misunderstanding, as depicted by many persons these names are wholly misleading. But if accepted as a convenient and rough classification, they will be helpful. One fact, however, you must clearly grasp. So far as I can discover, there is no evidence of the eternity of hell. Drop that idea and the rest will be easy to understand. At the same time, spirits may be in what I will call hell for countless ages. For example, Nero is there still, and likely to remain for many an earthly age. The officer has just come up from hell, and so that proves it is not a place of perpetual torment. But as most spirits who communicate with the living are fairly spiritual ones, they have never been in hell, and so can tell you nothing of it. Many do not know of its existence, for we do not know everything, only what is necessary for our own progress. They need no pains of hell, and so know not of its existence. Herein lies the interest of what the officer will relate. I myself could not tell you what he can from his own experience. Under hell therefore I group all those who did not believe. Purgatory begins with us at. Until you have received the first glimmerings of faith you can make but little progress. When this has once been received the spirit enters our realms. Gone west, hence Christ went down into hell to teach the spirits belief. So today exalted spirits sometimes go down thither to teach them to believe. Of heaven we know little here, it is to be with God, and that is enough for us. We are on the lowest edge of purgatory, and have far to travel before we reach there. Don't misunderstand me when I speak of hell, I mean simply the realm of unbelief, hardest hill the spirit has to climb. When that is surmounted the slope is easier. When speaking of purgatory you must not think we are unhappy. True, we suffer, but so long as we are progressing we are happy. Our sufferings merely purge away the earthy dross which would drag us down. Another fact that may come as a surprise to you is that we can still fall into sin, or at any rate slip back instead of making steady progress. It is no case of rest and fall asleep. We are, very, busy striving to mount higher. But for us there is little temptation to carnal sin, of that we are free. But the unfortunate beings in hell are still subject to their temptations, and to their own harm can sometimes gratify them. Of that more anon. Now a word to yourself. If at times you weary of this and think it fails in interest, I ask you not to give it up. It is entailing much labor on me, but I do it gladly, for thereby I am making amends for my own slackness on earth. Believe me, you too will benefit, but above all, I hope the world may deign to learn something from what I am trying to communicate. I think I have made plain to you the general plan of what I propose. In reading the news I sent, don't jump to any hasty conclusions, but wait and compare the various items.